You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our guest, Holly Belobono, is the author of a number of books, including her latest, Women Healers of the World. Holly, I just wanted to ask you, you've done a lot of research in herbs. You've done a lot of research in the history of herbs and how they've been used. What is the relationship between modern medicine and herbal medicine?
It's an interesting relationship. It's gone back a long, long time, both in this country and in Europe. I prefer integrative relationships. I think people who exclude modern medicine and just go with plants are missing a lot, and I think people who exclude herbal medicine and just go with modern medicine are missing a lot. I really like the integrative approach. It's a pretty aware approach. One of the women that I researched in my book, Dr. Tiarona Lodog, she's a physician in Arizona, and she exemplifies the integrative approach where you appreciate herbal medicine and use it for what it's valuable for, such as nourishing the body and minerals and skin support, hormonal support, digestive support, and then you approach it with modern medicine when you need that. A lot of times with trauma and first aid situations, modern medicine can be very helpful. Cardiac support, the medicines are definitely useful. I don't think you can exclude either one. I think they both have a place in a healthy home environment.
Holly, if people were to not know a lot about herbal medicine, but they were to use teas, for example, are there some key teas that you would recommend that everyone keep in their home, and what would they be used for?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a really fun place to start is with teas because they're water-based, they're easy, they're safe, they're familiar. So if somebody wanted to grow their interest in their education in herbs, teas is a great way to do it, and there are a few different herbs that I would recommend that you start with. One is mint, the mints, get to know peppermint and spearmint. And there's a couple different ways I use them. They're a little bit different. Peppermint is very warming and uplifting and awakening. It's very bright and refreshing. It gets the blood moving. So people with cold hands and cold feet, peppermint really does a good job. People with memory issues, people who are, say you're taking ginkgo, take peppermint tea with that. It will enhance the effect of ginkgo and help mental clarity. Spearmint, on the other hand, is a little bit milder, it's a little bit sweeter, it's more of a digestive, so it's really good for children and people with sensitive digestive systems. Spearmint tea is excellent in the evening to help you relax, especially with chamomile. Another tea that I really like people to try is nettle, stinging nettle. To harvest it, you have to have gloves because it stings, but once you've harvested the leaves, you can put them in your teapot and steep them and make a really lovely, green, rich, earthy tea, really called an infusion. And it's super high in minerals, so it's really healthy. It's a great foundational kind of a support, like a prevention. If somebody is interested in keeping themselves healthy, not exactly fighting a particular illness, but they just want to give their body a boost, and then nettle can be that vitamin nutritional supplement that's straight from plants and is incredibly healthy for you. So my general rule of thumb for making teas is 1 teaspoon of dried herb per cup of boiling water. If you're using fresh plants, use 3 teaspoons of herb per cup of boiling water. And for the mints, you want them to steep or brew anywhere from 8 to 15 minutes, depending on how strong you want it. And for the nettle, it's really best to steep it for 4 hours or longer. So often I'll have people do it at night, let it sit overnight covered, and in the morning strain it out so that it has a chance to extract all the minerals from the leaves.
What are some of the other herbs that are perhaps good for skin, because you've done a fair bit of research in that area?
So calendula is one of my favorites for the skin. I have a lot of clients. I do consultations. So people will come with eczema or psoriasis or mystery rashes. They're not sure what it is. And a lot of times skin issues result from something more internal, something deeper, digestive issues or stress, nervous system failings. These things result in skin eruptions, acne, you know, things like that that we think we want to treat topically, and we can symptomatically, but a lot of times the real cause of it is something more internal, hormonal or digestive or something like that. But to treat things that truly are on the skin, whether it's an infection or just super, super dry skin, calendula is one of those great herbs that fights bacteria and soothes the skin. It's called an emollient. So the herbs that are emollient are very soothing. So if there's a rash or dryness, they'll make it feel better. So you're not itching it, you're not scratching it, you're not inviting more infection. And other emollients include mallow, as in marshmallow. So the leaf and the root are very emollient. Calendula, violet leaf and violet flower, St. John's wort. These are all good emollients. Other herbs that are wonderful for the skin for if there is an infection, whether it's from a cut or a scrape or a fungal infection perhaps, any sort of first aid trauma situation, there are herbs that are called styptics. They stop blood flow. They're very astringent, such as oak or lady's mantle or yarrow. Yarrow is very common. It's a wildflower that grows all across North America. Super helpful. Great astringent. You can make a tea with it. Not that you're going to drink in the case of skin, but that you're going to steep your skin in. So athletes who have athlete's foot or people who are on their feet all day and their feet get very sore or red, you can make a tea with any of these herbs. Strain the herbs out and then soak your foot in the tea, and it can be very healing. It's very rejuvenating. It kills bacteria. It soothes the skin, and the aromatherapy of it brightens the mind.
What about some of the herbs that we have in our cabinets, like in our spice cabinets, like cayenne, for example? Is that a good herb, or some of the other spices that we have? What can we use those for?
Absolutely. So if you have cayenne pepper, definitely use it as a food. Use it liberally because it can be very good for you. It stimulates the immune system. Definitely a good thing to have in the winter. You can also use it topically. You know, it's interesting. People don't usually think about cayenne pepper, but if you've got rheumatism or arthritis, you have some numb spot or a sore joint, maybe it's not getting much blood flow, these are the herbs that can be rubbed topically to help stimulate blood flow and bring feeling back to that area. Cayenne pepper is one. Ginger is another. Most people have ginger powder in their cabinets. Clove is a little bit numbing, but if you're sore, you know, you have a sore muscle or sore joint, clove oil can be rubbed in. And the best way to do those, to make it safe, because these can be very strong, the best way is to take a little bit of kitchen oil, canola or olive or sweet almond or whatever you have handy, and steep the cloves in that oil on the stove on extremely low heat for about 10 minutes. You can do the same with mustard powder, with the ginger, and with cayenne pepper. What you want to do is extract the plant qualities into that oil on very low heat. And so then you strain it out, and you've got a diluted medicinal oil that you can rub right onto your sore joints and sore muscles.
I want to say that one time after I was married, after I got married, I was taking a herbalist course, and one of the things they were talking about was cayenne pepper, and so I had hurt my leg, and I was playing soccer, and I blew my leg out, and I thought, oh, I'll put some cayenne pepper on there, and I rubbed the cayenne pepper on there. Well, my wife never laughed so much in her life, because my leg was on fire.
Oh, no.
It was... I had to jump in the shower and take a shower for about 20 minutes in cold water because it was crazy. But again, it was an extreme, right? You know, I went on and I think I had, you know, 40,000 heat units or something too. So not something that typical a person has in their cabinet.
Yeah. You definitely want it diluted. You definitely want to use that carrier oil and be sure not to apply it anywhere where there's broken skin. Hmm. It'll burn like crazy.
Yeah, I wish I knew that then.
Yeah.
Holly, tell us about, you know, some of the herbs that perhaps can really make a difference in people's life that, you know, that you've seen and that you've learned from these women herbalists around the world?
It's been interesting because there are so many favorites out there. I have my own and all these women have their own. And it just makes you realize how many plants we're lucky enough to have. Yeah. And there are so many plants and so many ways to use them. One of the ones that really stands out for me is elderberry. It was the favorite of one of the midwives that I interviewed. Her name is Doña Enriqueta Contreras, and she's a midwife from Oaxaca, Mexico. Very strong, wonderful woman who has spent her whole career, more than 60 years, helping women deliver babies throughout Mexico. And in her career, she helped more than 2,000, I think she delivered more than 2,000 babies and never once lost a mother or baby in childbirth.
Wow.
I thought that was incredible. And she had two favorite plants that she really adored, or still does. She's living. She's in her 70s now. And one was elderberry, which is a kind of a big shrub or a small tree. It's a great plant and very medicinal. You can use the berries. You can use the flower. Both of those can be internal. They're wonderful for fevers, reducing fevers in babies and children and adults. People use them in cough syrup. Elderberry is expectorant, so it's great for coughs. You can use the leaves, too, externally. So I chop up fresh elder leaves and put them in my ointments.
Yeah.
So she loved elderberries, and it's such an ancient tree. It's native to both Europe and North America, so it has a lot of mythology and folklore behind it and a lot of use. And another of Doña Enriqueta's favorites was roses. And roses are special. They're really wonderful to work with because they work kind of on an emotional level. You know, we give roses at Valentine's Day. They symbolize love. They're very symbolic. But they also can physically help you emotionally when you're going through a process of grief or loss or heartache. A lot of people will spritz themselves with rose-scented spritzer or actually take a tincture made with fresh rose petals. And Doña Enriqueta, the midwife, one way that she liked to use roses was to sprinkle fresh rose petals in the sheets for the women as they were in labor, partly because of the scent, because it's calming and it's relaxing, and women in labor experience a lot of fear. It's a very primitive, fearful time. And to surround them with rose petals was a way of hers, a very, a folk method to be sure, but a very fundamental, lovely way to help ease their fear and give them the strength they need to carry on to birth a baby.
Holly, some great knowledge about herbs. Tell people where they can get your book and why they should buy it.
Yeah, I'm at vineyardherbs.com, V-I-N-E-Y-A-R-D, herbs.com. I run an herb school. I would love for people to get some information and enroll. I do a distance program as well as a two-week intensive here on Martha's Vineyard. And looking forward to connecting people with the plants that we all love.
Holly, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was Holly Belabono and her book, Women Healers of the World. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Muriel Schwartz about the Family Food Allergy book.